Coming to you live from the fortress. This is the Geeky Natural Mom podcast. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I hope you guys are having a great week. I hope it's, you know, full of positivity, and hope that you're one step closer to accomplishing your goals. So I just wanted to do some announcements before we get to the actual episode. So first let's do a disclaimer. You might hear a little person talking or playing, because I tried to, like I set a schedule where I can record, but you know, things happen. You know, I'm a mom first, so if you might hear him laughing or giggling in the background, I hope that's okay. So just a little disclaimer there. Also, something very exciting is coming up for the kids and I. We are participating in the Philadelphia chapter of the Autism Speaks walk, and the date for that is October 20th, and the location is at Citizens Bank Park. And if you wanted to sign up, I'm going to leave a link in the episode description. I don't know if you're able to click that link. You probably can copy and paste it, but you can also go to my Instagram at Geeky Natural Mom and click the link in the bio, and it has information about my team, which is called Team Minions. I'm still working on the name, but I don't know, it's like something is telling me to stick with that name, so I'm just gonna stick with it for now. But I don't want to wait till the last minute to like change the name, and then, like, you know, I'll probably get some merch made and I decide to change it. But, and you know, I still got a couple months, so right now it's Team Minions. So like I said, it's at Citizens Bank Park, and for registration is at 8:30 in the morning, and they're going to do an opening program, and the walk start is at 10 a.m. So I'm looking for members to walk in our team. So if you want to participate with us and want to walk with Team Minions, please contact me through email or DM me on Instagram or anything like that, so we can get like a good group of people going, so we can support the kiddos and support the other people with autism and have a great day that day. Also, we're doing a goal fundraiser. So the goal we're trying to hit is $150. I think we can hit that, you know, before October. I didn't want to throw like a big number out there because I know like people have other responsibilities. So I just wanted to start small there. But if we go over $150, that's great too. So, I mean, donating $5, you know, a dollar, whatever you can, please just help out, you know, great cause, and supporting, you know, other people with autism, and, you know, let's get autism research out there. I'm also going to be going to some other activities that's going on between now and October. So I'll keep you guys posted on that if anybody wants to join us. And also, you also check my Instagram for that information as well on there. And I think I got one more announcement. I'm starting a Patreon page. So I'm going to also leave information on that to support the podcast, so we can grow bigger and we can do more things with it. We can travel and, you know, probably start getting some videos, like me doing the podcast, or videos of actually me, you know, just of me, you know, whatever you guys want me to do. So, you know, I'm doing all this. I'm a one woman show, so some support is needed here, you know, to keep this thing afloat. So if you can, I'm gonna leave the link for my Patreon page in the description of the episode, of this episode, I should say. And also, I'm also going to leave a link in my Instagram bio. So any support, you know, for the podcast is wonderful. I appreciate the support that I'm getting now. Once again, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, now let's get into the episode. So, in probably the episode before the last one, you know, I talked about, you know, how everything, you know, I was dealing with as far as, you know, with the kids' diagnosis and how I've been dealing with it. So, like, as I was thinking about, you know, doing this episode, I thought about that episode and the part where I talked about, you know, not, you know, being myself when, you know, the kids really needed me and things like that. Cause, like, I was just in my mental part of, you know, everything was not there, you know, dealing with a breakup and, you know, dealing with the abuse and all that. I don't want to get back into that. You listen to that episode to hear all that. But I thought about closure and I wanted to talk about that today and, you know, how it was important for me to get closure as far as, you know, the kids' diagnosis and also just, you know, mentally, you know, being in that mental space and actually getting closure from relationships, friendships, because, like, when the diagnosis happened and, you know, everything started changing, I had to, like, kind of deal with stuff by myself. So it was hard for me to get closure and I really wanted to, like, have that mindset where I'm able to have that patience with the children, especially when they're going through their stimming or, you know, they're, you know, feel like they're being anxious and things like that. Like, I wanted to make sure that I had that, you know, I was mentally prepared for, you know, the things that the children were doing or doing, whatever have you. But I wanted to be prepared for that. And, you know, at the time, like I said before, you know, I kind of was, but, like, you feel like you're functioning, but, like, you're waking up, you're up, you're functioning, but at the same time, you're, like, not there. So basically, that's how I was feeling. I was, you know, able to do what I can. I was able to, you know, to take care of them, but, like, mentally, I wasn't there. So I think, you know, through really, like, checking myself and really, like, taking time to think about how, you know, this was really affecting me, I had to, like, step outside of myself and be like, okay, like, I need to fix some things because my children need me. And I can't, you know, I can't be lesser than, you know, and not put their needs first, because that wouldn't be fair to them. That wouldn't be fair to me. So I wanted to, you know, the things that I had issues with, I wanted to let go of that. And, you know, as I said before, it took now to this point to actually get closure and to, you know, be in a better place, you know, and it's been 6 months. So, you know, it's been tough, and, like, a lot of stuff I dealt with on my own that I didn't really talk to anyone about because, like, I felt like, you know, it was my battle, and, you know, everybody has their own situations that they're going through, so I didn't want to, like, kind of bring my problems to the forefront or, you know, talk about it, even though it's healthy to talk to someone. But then at the same time, I was thinking, like, you know, maybe if I did talk to someone, like one of my closest friends, like, would they really understand, you know, what I'm going through and, you know, how, you know, this is all different for me. Like, I battled with that because, like, I did want to tell people and I did want to talk about it. Like, I didn't want to be, you know, how I was before and not be able to talk about it and, you know, have a breakdown or, you know, not able to function because I wasn't able to talk about it. So knowing that, like, I really took time to focus on myself and not in a selfish manner, because, like, when people say they focus on their self, they're doing it in a selfish manner, but I was doing it in more of being mentally free, because, like, mentally I wasn't free. Mentally, you know, I felt like I was in Fort Knox. So, So the first thing I did was I had to tell myself that it wasn't my fault. Like I had so much guilt because I felt like, I mean, like I told y'all before, like I felt like, it was my fault. And I think I felt like it was my fault, with the children because of the situation, with my significant other at the time. Like I could have did something earlier, to prevent them this to be a trauma for them, even though that they're young and they might not understand, but we never know, what a kid is going through, especially if, the kids are not able to express themselves the way they want to. And like, I want to try any way imaginable to communicate to me how they're feeling, no matter if they're able to or not, even if it's just with a simple gesture from them. I mean, I'm not forcing them or anything like that. I think more so just for them to know that I'm here for them. I hope that, made sense. But like that I'm here for them and I'm always going to be here for them. And what, if they need to communicate something to me that they can, and I try to give them that energy, when I'm with them or when I'm trying to communicate with them. The reason why I'm not saying talking because, as my 3-year-old is nonverbal, so we communicate through pecs. So I'm communicating with him through a picture, and he's telling me how he feels or what he wants. That's our way of communicating. So with, my daughter, we're kind of using the pecs, but then like I have to talk to her where she understands what I'm trying to say. So, if I'm having a conversation with someone else, it's probably easier for them to understand what I'm talking about. But for her, if I'm having a conversation with her and it might not comprehend well to her, I have to break it down enough where I can talk to her and she's able to understand what I'm saying. Because, like, I might be talking and to her, it'd probably be like Charlie Brown, like womp 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 womp, like kind of like that, but not like in a like smart way. Because sometimes it's like so much going on in her mind and in her brain, she can't really like try. She try to like put everything together, but it's all like in shambles. Like I'm not saying this in a bad way, but like this is how she told me, when she's trying to talk to me, that's what's going on in her brain. So, and that's mainly with anyone, with a diagnosis of autism. It feels like it's so much going on and they're trying to grasp it all. So when she told me that, I like I got like I got it. Like, okay, I got it. So let's work together so we can communicate and know what we need from each other. So I think I went off topic, but it all makes sense to what I'm saying. So yeah, I just want them to know that they're able to they should be able to feel comfortable communicating to me about anything. Even if it's not in a talking sense, just like our way of communicating, they're able to, I want them to feel comfortable and to able to speak their minds. And when Thomas and Austin start, be able to speak more and to be able to say how they feel, like I want them to, be able to be free and be able to talk about things that, whatever they might need or whatever they want to do. So, like I said, I felt like I let them down at that sense, but then at the same time, I still could be in that situation, and that situation probably would have gotten worse. So I'm just grateful I was able to, you know, get them out of that negativity before it got too late. And, you know, we just built from there and, you know, we're able to grow as a family. So I had to tell myself, like, it wasn't my fault because it could have been a worser situation. And then another thing I was dealing with was, like, how can I be strong for them when I'm not, you know, I don't feel strong, you know. I think mainly because of my depression, I felt like I wasn't going to be enough to able to deal with everything that the kids were dealing with, because like I was dealing with, or I am still dealing with, my own stuff and, you know, trying to be the best mom I can be. And it's hard when you're dealing with depression and, you know, the kids don't understand, you know, why mommy feels this way or why, what's wrong with mommy. And like, I tried to shield that so they don't see it. It's mainly like if I'm by myself and like I'm kind of letting go, you know, what's happening. Like I kind of deal with it myself. Like I told myself that I wouldn't let them see me like in a depressive state. Like I don't want them to have that energy. So I kept that to myself. But now, you know, I'm keeping myself busy. I'm working hard and I'm trying to do all these things, like be an advocate and like trying to like keep my mind busy so I'm not in that depressive state. And like doing this podcast has been a great help for me because like I'm able to express myself to you, the listener, and I'm able to release whatever I'm feeling, and that'll make me feel better. So like I'm grateful that I'm even able to do this. Like when you're feeling like you're in a depressive state, you know, you have to find your niche. Like how can you express yourself? Maybe that's writing or drawing or doing music, poetry, anything like that. Like whatever makes you feel better. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight where I'm like, oh, I'm over depression. Like sometimes days get really, really rough and you can't function. And then some days, like, I don't want to get up. Like I don't want to get up at all. Like I just want to just lay there. And I feel, sometimes I feel guilty about that. Like if I don't want to get up. And I think like moms go through that, like a point where they don't want to get up because it's so much that you're dealing with. It's so much, you know, aggravation. You got to think about, oh, I got to do this today and I got to try this today. And, and you're dealing with, you know, your children's behaviors and, you know, people's other, you know, other people and their drama and things like that. And then if you're in a relationship, you got to deal with, you know, their stuff. So it's just a lot. And I had this conversation the other day and, you know, I was telling a friend of mine that like it's hard for me to like at night turn myself off, meaning that like my brain is constantly going. It's constantly just still thinking about today and what I have to do tomorrow, and sometimes it's hard for me to go to sleep, and you know I'm not, you know, calming myself down. I'm not just letting myself recharge and get ready for the next day. So it all plays a role into me, you know, dealing with my depression, because if I don't get enough sleep, then, you know, I feel drained and, you know, I'm not able to function the way I want to in front of the kids. So, and I feel like I've been like having that a lot lately where like I'm not able to shut myself off at night. like, I'm not on my phone or anything like that, because, like, I stopped, like, having my phone, like, in the bed with me, because that was also a problem, too, because, like, one minute you're like, oh, I'm going to bed, and then the next minute you're scrolling on Instagram or being on somebody's Insta stories or on Facebook or anything like that. So, like, I don't even have my phone in the bed anymore. Like, I put my phone on the nightstand, or, like, I put it on my desk. So, like, I try to eliminate that, because that was a problem, too. And also, I started doing this as well. I turn off the TV, before I get in my room, because if I, like, keep the TV on, I'll probably stay up and, like, binge watch a whole show like I did. I binge watched Insecure the other night. That is such a good show, by the way. I binge watched both seasons of that show, and, like, I didn't go to bed till, like, 6. And then I wasn't able to sleep anyway. So, like, me, you know, thinking about everything and, you know, wanting to be, everything being so perfect and wanting everything, you know, to go the way it's going, and I'm not sleeping. So, that played a role, and then the TV was on, that played a role, and here I am binge watching Insecure. So I just started turning the TV off. And another reason is that when Thomas, because Thomas co-sleeps with me, so when Thomas goes to sleep, I just shut the TV off completely. And if it's a show that I really wanted to watch, I either go downstairs or just record it and just wait till another day when I'm able to watch it. So I just, like, turn off the TV completely, because, like, if I watch TV, that's a kind of a distraction for Thomas too. So I just turn it off completely. Like, if I want to watch something, I'll just watch something on my computer, and I'll, like, watch that for a couple minutes before I go to bed or something like that. So, like, with, like, the small things, when you do those small things, that helps out with the big things. So just by me doing those small things that helped, you know, my mental health at night, and my brain knowing that, okay, I need to calm down and, you know, focus on sleep. and you know, whatever I didn't do today, you know, I can do the next day. Or if it's not of importance, you know, that's the, you know, I'm not, you know, I could kind of push it back a couple more days. But if it's of importance, it'd be the first thing I do, you know, after the kids go to school. So just doing those small things, like I said, and, like, really taking that time to actually calm down and just release, like, helped, you know, with my closure. And every day you're dealing with some type of closure, maybe, you know, dealing with a, you know, with a relationship, dealing with your past, and that's pretty much, like, for me with my past, I had to get a lot of closure from it, because, like, I've been through a lot, and I had to really, like, sit myself down again and say, yo, you need to get your stuff together and, you know, do what you gotta do. But when I was doing this, you know, I only had Maya, but, you know, Maya wasn't in my care at that time. So, like, it was just me. Like, I had to, like, really look at myself and think about, is this where I want to be? Do I want to keep playing a victim? Do I want to keep, living the way I'm living? How do I make that change? But I know through different parts of my life where I had to get closure from, I had to do that first. If I wasn't able to get that closure, I wouldn't be able to be where I'm at now. You know, I would still be bitter. I would still be upset. You know, I would still be those things. And, you know, I wouldn't have that growth that I have now. And I'm so proud of myself you know, being here I am, you're be 30 in a few months, and actually took the time out to actually get myself together and actually learn from those mistakes or learn from those lessons that, you know, God was trying to give me. Like, I'm really proud of myself that I took that time for me. Even till now, like, you know, with the situations that I went through, you know, recently, like, I'm really proud of myself that I'm able to give myself that time for myself and actually, you know, be the woman that I want to be. Because if I'm, you know, if I'm, you know, showing growth and I'm being in that position where I want to be as a woman, I can be a good mother to my children. So if I'm, you know, doing better and I'm reaping the benefits of that growth and pretty much, I just had a thought. Pretty much going for what I want, because that was a big problem for me. I wasn't really going for what I want or try to do what I want because I was like a big pleaser. And we talked about that before. Like, you know, I wanted to make sure everyone else is happy and not myself. So the closure within myself, I had to get closure there because it starts with you. The closure starts with, you know, who you are as a person and who you want to be as a person. So that was closure within myself. Closure with past relationships, friendships. I had closure from that. And some things, you know, even if, you know, you might not get the closure you want, still get that closure. Or, you know, it might, whatever, it might end badly or whatever the case may be, or whatever happened, just still get that closure. Even if you don't see that person, try to write a letter to that, you know, and read it out loud and, you know, rip it up or burn it or anything like that, and you can get the closure there. So I think the biggest thing for me to get closure from was my mother. When she died, I wasn't there. So, like, for a long time, I felt guilty of not being there, you know, when she had her final breaths. So I really had to get closure from that because, like, I felt so low and I felt angry with myself because, like, why? I was living in another state at the time. And, like, why did I leave? Like, why? I couldn't stay with her. No matter what I was going through with family or whatever, like, I should have been there. And, like, I wasn't thinking about that at the time. I don't even know what I was so angry about. I was just angry. And I should have been there. And for a long time, that, like, kind of stayed with me. And that kind of affected me as a person because, like, I wouldn't let people in. And I wasn't able to, you know, be the friend I wanted to be, or be, you know, that, be in that relationship. You know, I wasn't able to give my full potential with anything because I felt so bad, so empty, so hurt. So I finally got the closure from it. What I did was, a few years ago, I went to her grave and I kind of just sat there and I just, like, kind of just, like, screamed. And I talked about every emotion and everything I felt at the time. And I was just like, I was just all over the place. I was just screaming and crying and just freaking out and just everything I felt. I just let it, I just put it out there and I just let it go. And from that day forward, I worked on, you know, letting her know that, you know, no matter how I felt at that time, this is going to make me a better person. And, you know, from that day forward, I just started changing and growing and evolving, you know, to who I am now. So getting that closure from my mom was like a really big deal for me. And I'm just grateful that I was able to do that and to find that closure, man. Because it's like, oh, like, I tell people all the time, like, when you lose some, like, you, not even just your mother, just somebody that's really close to you, like, you feel empty. Like, that part of you is gone. Like, you have no idea. Like, it's like that part of your, that part of you, that soul is just taken from you. And like, you wouldn't know what to do. Like, you'd be so broken. And I was so broken. I was so like empty, like I told you guys. And like I said, I had to get that closure from, you know, to move on with my life. So, I had to get closure from, you know, my children's diagnosis. And now, you know, we're starting the early intervention with my one-year-old because now he's starting to have a delay. And it's just like, you never think that, you know, it would be something wrong with your child. So, I mean, when I was like finding out with Thomas, I didn't understand why. But now knowing and dealing with it now, I'm just so happy that like they're so unique and so different and, you know, in their own way. And it's just like, you know, I'd rather not have it any other way because, you know, they're so special and, you know, they like the things they like and they're just so amazing, man. Like, I'm so grateful that I am a special needs parent. And it is really tough because I'm a single special needs parent, but like through everything I go through with them, just waking up and just looking at them and just, you know, they smile at me. Like, they just so excited to see me. Like, that's the best part. Like, you can't take that from me. Like, that's just the best part of it. Just them smiling and being so happy and just loving life. No matter what challenges they face, they still smile. And, you know, they just hug me every 5 minutes. Like, they'll just hug me and want me to pick them up and hold them and just talk to them and sing to them. Like, that keeps me going through my depression. And what got me through with closure was them hugging and them smiling and playing. And like, because the child can feed off your energy. So if they feel my energy, and it's just like they know when I'm sad, because they'll just come up and like Thomas does this thing where he like pinches my cheek. So Thomas comes up and pinches my cheek and like he'll smile at me and like do this little head tilt to the side. It's just like so adorable. And then Austin would like try to climb up on me and like bounce and smile. Like, oh, just like, it just makes my whole day. And then like whatever I'm feeling, you know, that just goes out the window. So like, the kids just being themselves, like, that helped me, you know, with my closure. Because, like, every time they looked at me, and every time, like, every accomplishment that they're doing right now, that got me through. And I wasn't even thinking about, you know, all the good they could do and all the things, you know, that, like, those little accomplishments. I didn't even think about that. All I assumed the worst, but they kind of they showed me that, you know, it's okay to be, you know, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to, you know, have that guilt, but, you know, just rise from it and be, you know, and just be happy. And that's what I got from them. Like, they was just happy and they just wanted me to be happy. So they helped a lot, you know, getting closure and, you know, dealing with their diagnosis and talking, like, actually talking to people now and, like, finding, you know, what keeps me happy. And that's, like, been helping a ton, with my closure and just trying to be a positive force, you know, with you guys and, you know, to the people that's in my circle, just trying to, like, be a positive outlet. Cause there's so much going on today, and, like, all we need is, like, kindness and love from people. Like, just those smallest things can mean a lot, you know, to people. And that's what I strive to be. So, I'm just going to say this. This is, like, totally off of, like, you know, my outline of what I was talking about. If you're going through something right now and you feel like, you know, you're at the end of your rope and you're, you feel like you're holding that grudge, like, please don't. Like, it's not worth it. Whatever you feel like the victim in a situation, or you feel like, you know, that situation is not going to benefit you from having growth, like, just let it go. Like, however you deal with, you know, life and, you know, whatever makes you happy, do it. Get that closure from them. Talk to them. Even if they don't want to talk to you, you know, even if they still feel some type of way, just still try to talk it out, or leave them voicemail and, you know, let them know how you really feel. Write a letter to them, email them, DM them, whatever you got to do, because, like, that stuff grows heavy on you. And you don't want to feel heavy to a low, like you're sinking. So whatever you're dealing with right now and it's, like, taking a big toll on your growth, just deal with it. Find a way to get that closure. Whatever the case may be for you to get closure and to move on from the situation, do it. Just talking to someone about it and getting ideas from them. Just try it. Like, we all gotta try sometime. And if we don't try, then how can we know the outcome of something? Because it might be good, or it might be something that will change your life. And on that note, I am finished with this episode. I was trying not to get emotional. Like, I try to leave my emotions out when I do these episodes, but again, like, this is something that is really helping me in my process of everything that I'm dealing with at the moment. So if I took a lot of pauses, or if you felt like I wasn't giving my all, I deeply apologize. But, like, I was trying not to be like emotional, but like this is really helping me, you know, with my process of closure and growing and like actually talking about it. So I mean, even if it like, you know, somebody is feeling what I'm saying, like I hope I can just like bring something where, you know, somebody can feel better off of what I'm saying, because I feel better just talking to a microphone and just, you know, speaking to the you guys, my listeners. So I'm sorry if you felt like I was like taking a lot of pauses or I wasn't really, you know, being myself in this episode, but like I want to be honest about everything I'm feeling, because like I feel like when people try to do these type things like podcasting or YouTube or whatever may have you, like they're not putting their true self in it. And I don't know, but like sometimes I feel that like sometimes they're not putting their true self in it. And for the person that's invested, you know, in you, you know, visually or financially or whatever, they want to see the real you. Like they want you to be a realist and be honest. So, you know, with everything I do, I want to be honest, and everything, you know, that I'm saying to you is from my heart and what I'm thinking, because like, I feel like, you know, you guys are invested in me. So I need to give you my all, regardless of how I'm feeling. If I feel like crap, I want to give you guys that. I want you to know, like, hey, I feel like crap, but guess what? I'm going to rise above this crap and I'm going to make the best of this crap. So, that's how I want to, you know, come across as me being a podcaster or a YouTuber or an influencer or whatever you guys call me. But I want to be as honest as possible, and I want to be as real as possible. And you know, I'm a real as it gets, you know. So I hope that you were able to, you know, take that from me. And that's it. I'll leave my social medias below. You can contact me there. My email, you can contact me there. The Patreon information I'm going to leave in the episode description. And also, again, check my Instagram bio. I also have the links of everything there where you can follow me and, you know, support the channel. Like, I really appreciate you guys, you know, taking the time out to actually, you know, support me and listen. So thank you, and I'll see you next time, guys. Peace and love.